Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. And this is a special pleasure for me because this organization, International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants, called IAABC, I know so very well because I go back to, well, nearly day one with this organization. Now I believe celebrating 20 years. Why is this organization relevant to you if you have a dog, and maybe even more so if you have a pet bird or a cat? We'll explain it. Dot Bailey is here. She is the executive director. Not for all 20 years, Dot, huh?
No. I just recently stepped in about a year and a half ago as the executive director for IAABC.
And what is IAABC?
We are a membership association for animal behavior consultants and dog trainers, and we are a certifying body. So we have probably the most rigorous certification process in the industry for individuals looking to become certified to work as dog trainers and animal behavior consultants.
Well, I want to talk about that a little bit because mm-hmm. anyone can put up a shingle and say,
correct,
I am a dog trainer. There is no absolute requirement. Now, there are other organizations that certify dog trainers. None other, really, that I know about that certifies behavior consultants, which takes it to another level. But even when just choosing a dog trainer, I want to back up even one more step, Why choose a dog trainer in the first place? So many people adopt a dog. I'm so happy about that. And I know you are passionate about pet adoption and animal shelters. But they adopt a dog and figure, oh, the dog's 4 years old, give or take. That dog doesn't mm-hmm. need to go to a training class. Or maybe it's a four-month-old, you know, a puppy that they bring into their home. And say that I've trained dogs before, it's no problem. So I want to hear from you why you think dog training is important. And I assume, since you're a dog trainer, you think it probably is.
Well, I think it's very important. Particularly, let's start with the puppies, right? Start with the babies that are with bringing a different species into our households and expecting them to comply with our rules and understanding and how people communicate. And so therefore, we need to do everything that we can to set that animal up for success in a foreign environment. So we need to help them learn that environments change, how to tolerate and how to interact with something that it does not come necessarily naturally to a dog or a cat or a bird or a horse or any of those things. We impose rules that are unnatural to dogs, like don't bark when somebody comes to the door, right? We have to train them and help them understand what it is that we expect out of them. But particularly when it comes to the babies and the young ones, we need to help them socialize and learn from the get-go what is safe and what is comfortable so that they can grow up to be well-adjusted, happy members of our families.
What I've often said about dog training classes, it opens up a window of communication. And this goes for mm-hmm. adult dogs you adopt as well.
Absolutely.
From one end of the leash to the other. Apparently, you agree?
Absolutely. And I've worked in animal shelters for over 25 years, and whenever somebody adopts a dog from me, they say, well, what do you think? Do I need training classes? Absolutely. You have to learn how to communicate together, and the best way to do that is through positive reinforcement training.
Yes. So you said something else that was kind of magical before setting up the dog for success. So historically, let's go back in time 25 years. People were often taught to teach dogs what not to do. Instead, it seems that your thinking is, let's teach them what to do.
That comes with being any learner, right? Any learner at all. Dog, cat, horse, human. Instead of saying no, don't do that. Why don't I tell you what it is that you can do to be successful? right? So if the dog is jumping and barking instead of saying no, am I saying no to jumping and bark or barking? I say quiet. I say sit. Boom. Now I can give you something in return for being successful.
In addition to that, I don't want to go down this road too much, but dogs being dogs, they will bark. Mm-hmm. So sometimes what we teach them is, okay, it's okay to bark. And many people want their dog to bark, you know, a couple of times. It's when they go on and on and on. So let's teach the dog when to stop and then give the dog something for that so the dog wins as well.
Yeah, that's what I call the thank you, which I probably got from somebody else a long time ago. Yeah, you get your two or three books in, and thank you. Thank you for letting me know somebody's at the door. Thank you for letting me know, as in the case of my little pork chop the other night, that foxes were playing on the front lawn at 2 a.m.
Oh. That sounds so cute.
I was actually quite grateful because I got to look out and watch the foxes bounce around and be cute little canids too. And I was like, thank you very much. That's what you do. You're a dog. You tell me when there's something outside.
All right, so let's back up to dog training. So we know why, or at least we've touched on why it's important for puppies. I want to focus a little more on that adult dog you adopt. Why would you, and we mentioned a little bit, but why would you let's say that dog knows already how to sit, stay, all those things. Why would you go to a training class?
Relationship building. You build a relationship from the start that is focused on positive reinforcement, on communication, on understanding of each other, and get a fitting into a lifestyle together.
All right. So how do you choose that dog trainer? Do you look for certifications such as, and you're only one for dog training, IAABC?
Correct. Yes. I always look for certified trainers. I look for affiliations, memberships, those kinds of things as well. You know, there's plenty of associations out there, such as APDT, who don't certify, but are membership organizations that also focus on, you know, positive reinforcement and ensuring that we focus on using tools and methodology that don't employ fear or pain, right? Mm-hmm. So that, for me, is the first jump starter. I also look at other things as well. A lot of times you see pet dog training by your former police dog trainer or former military dog trainer. And to me, that's not pet dog training. That's not living with kids and doing all of these other things that we ask of our companions in our home. So I want to make sure that I am going to a trainer who is focused on positive reinforcement, holds accreditations, because to me, in an unregulated industry, which dog training is, as you mentioned at the beginning, anybody can hang up that shingle, right? We want to make sure that these are people who are pursuing education, proper education, and then continuing education.
Absolutely true.
They become certified.
Yep. All right. I'm interrupting you only because, and I'm sorry, we have to take a break here. But when we come back, I want to talk more about this and what behavior consultants specifically do. And we'll do that on WGN. Dot Bailey is the executive director. It sounds very fancy, and it is, of the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants, sometimes called IAABC. And we were talking about certification and that dog training, it's kind of a wild west out there in some ways. Anyone can say they're a dog trainer. And then the way in which they train dogs sometimes is concerning still. In fact, I'd say it's increasing. We're going backwards in some ways. Punishment-based dog trainers and all the rest that are not members of any organization and most certainly not yours.
Correct. We make sure we hold our certificates to extremely high standards. Our certifications are not easy to achieve, and they do demonstrate a high level of skill and knowledge that is focused on using positive reinforcement methodologies that help an animal learn in a non-stressful environment that do not inflict fear, pain, or stress or distress on the learner during the process.
Mm-hmm.
We also focus on ensuring that our certificates understand how to teach people, right? Because who's the one living with the dog or the cat? It's the person that is there that has to live with their pet. So we ensure that our certificates know and understand that process very, very deeply of being able to communicate and educate humans.
All right. So all of that, extremely important. So,
yes.
Okay. That's a dog trainer and the importance of choosing the right dog trainer. But International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants takes it
correct
to a different level. So lots of people, including your members, can teach sit, stay, roll over, and do much more than that in dog training classes. I don't mean to minimize
absolutely
dog. Yeah. But what if the dog is barking too much at the door, like we talked about? What if the dog has separation anxiety, which arguably is the most common behavior problem now? What if the dog is aggressive to other dogs? And on with what ifs. This is where your members are prepared to help. And oftentimes, and I want you to talk about this because we both mm-hmm. agree this is very important, oftentimes in conjunction with a veterinary professional.
Yes, absolutely. When you come to a situation where you have a pet that is experiencing a higher level concern, I don't need to teach something new. I need to change an emotional response to that dog, or being left alone, or the children down the street, or novel humans coming into the household. There's no end to the different types of behavior problems that an animal can experience. And we're talking about dogs, but IABC, Animal Behavior Consultants, we certify behavior consultants in cat, in horse, in parrot, and in shelter specialties as well. So we're very proud of the shelter certifications too. But we want to make sure that when we're talking about an animal with a higher level concern, that it is a care community, that we're looking at the animal from a holistic perspective and ensuring that their medical and their psychological care are held in the highest regard and that it is worked on as a team whenever possible.
So in the world of dogs, there are sometimes other viable choices. In the world of cats or pet birds, or horses, there aren't really too mm-hmm. many other choices. You're kind of it. And my
yeah.
concern is not about at all about what you guys do, but it's hard to do it if people don't know that you do it. So this is in part to communicate. If you have a cat with a behavior issue, and cats have no more or less behavior issues than dogs, or
correct.
Another, such as a pet bird, a pet parrot, this is a great organization to turn to. In fact, it's perhaps the only viable organization to turn to. So it's important that you do this work. For cats and for pet birds, are you finding more and more people are turning to you?
Absolutely. I as a certified cat behavior consultant myself, I get probably 3 or 4 requests a week to help people with behavior problems with their pet cats, ranging from, you know, not using the litter box to not getting along with the other animals in the house, or human-directed aggression. Quite often I see that. It's probably one of my specialties personally. And there aren't a whole lot of other options for folks who have those non-dog pets out there. And those options that are out there tend to lean more towards punishment or fear-based methodologies. So we really have a long way to go, a long road to haul to get the professionals, practitioners out there to focus on the positive reinforcement methodology that will help horses, cats, and parrots as well.
you know, everyone has these lists at this time of year. You know, what were the top songs of 2024? What was the top, right? You know, they all have these. So in the less than 2 minutes we have, I'm curious, anecdotally, I understand, what is the top behavior problem that you see, or IAABC sees, for dogs, for cats, and for birds? Quickly.
Oh, behavior problems. You already mentioned separation-related concerns in dogs is one of the most common. I think the next after that is typically human-directed aggression issues. So similar for cats, it's litter box issues, human-directed issues. And I actually have seen a few cats with separation-related issues as well.
Yeah, it can happen.
Horses, I don't work a lot with horses myself, but I would say that there's a lot of, most of the issues typically are around handling and movement with people and those kinds of things. And then birds, it's getting them the medical care they need or biting people. It's really a lack of communication, right? It's interspecies communication that is really quite off most of the time. People don't understand how to communicate with their birds, and their birds don't understand how to communicate their needs to their humans.
Okay. Now, for further information, and there's lots of it, including a newsletter, it's IAABC.org. International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants. And on the website, I think that you still have a location finder. So if you live, we have listeners all over. So let's say you do live in Armpit, Iowa, then you can go on and type your zip code in and find the closest, whatever you need, cat behavior consultant, dog behavior consultant, whatever it is, located closest to you, including several we have in the Chicago area.
And we are international, so we have members in over 70 countries. So even if you're not in Iowa, if you're in Canada, you're in the UK, you're in Australia, and we have a consultant in South Africa. So no matter where you live, you can find somebody in your location that is certified by the IABC that can help you with your animal's behavior problems.
Including materials, I happen to know, en español. Muchas gracias. Great to talk to you, Dottie. And I am sure we will be talking again, IAABC.org. Next week on the show, it is world famous, and she is Chicago's own world famous dog trainer, Laura Monaco Torelli. And as I've told Laura, and I will next week, I've told her this many times, doesn't that name sound like a soap opera character named Laura Monaco Torelli? I think it does. But recently, a story occurred to her. It's kind of a story that might appear in a soap opera. It's why I talk all the time about leash laws and why it's important for the benefit of your dog and your benefit as well for a dog to be on a leash. And increasingly, it seems all around the country, post-pandemic, people have been walking around with their dogs off-leash. Among the topics we'll talk about next week is what happened to Laura as a result of someone having their dog off-leash. Laura Monaco Torelli, next week, right here on WGN. I am so happy to welcome back into the program David Kerpel, who has a story to tell. You know, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, David, and I'm not sure that I am right. It might have been, and I don't know that you'd know, it might have been Fiddler on the Roof, where he sang something about dreams. I don't even know why I'm bringing this up. Well, I do know why. It's because you said, I have a dream. What song am I thinking of? I don't know. But
I don't know.
Nah, I don't know. People,
it might be from there.
Yeah, people will tell me. I don't know. What do I know? Or it'll come to me. That's what happens now, right? I think of something, and then poof, it's gone. And then 10 minutes later, it does return. Or maybe the next day while I'm vacuuming or in the middle of the night or something like. I digress. You had a dream. You have a dream. And it's about finding forever homes for dogs. Talk about that.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. So all my life, I've loved animals, especially dogs. And about 10 years ago, I decided that when I get older, I wanted to try to save as many dogs as I could once I retired. So originally that was going to be when I was in my 60s, but, you know, life changes, things happen. And in January of 2022, I decided to follow my dream. And so for the next year and a half, my wife and I tried to find land to open up a dog sanctuary, a dog rescue. And so last year we found 6 beautiful acres in Richmond, Illinois. And we have gone about designing and working with professionals to create a state-of-the-art dog sanctuary, dog facility, where we will rescue dogs from different locations, some shelters, and we're going to pick out the dogs that are basically destined to live the rest of their lives in a very small cage, or not having a lot of hope to get rescued, or are going to be euthanized. And those are the dogs that really need our help the most. And we are then going to take them out of that facility and bring them to our sanctuary, where we're going to have dog behaviorists, dog trainers, work with these dogs, mm-hmm. and find them homes and get them fostered or adopted. And until they do get to that point, and even if they never get to that point, they get to spend their lives frolicking on the 6 acres that we have created. That we have, you know, we have fields and fencing, and they'll get lots of exercise, and the facility is going to be amazing because we already have designs for it. And so we're hoping to start construction over the winter, this winter.
Which is amazing. But my job in part, I believe, is to ask questions that people listening to the radio might be wondering about themselves. So you said you retired early from the way you describe things.
Actually, I'm still working.
Okay, so what?
Still work.
So are you Elon Musk? I mean, where do you get these dollars from to buy this big acreage of land? Or do you have? Are you a 501(c), a nonprofit that finds support from others as well as what you contributed at the beginning?
So my wife and I used our savings to buy the land. However, everything else is through donations. We are 100% volunteer. We are a 501(c)(3) organization. And so everything that we've been able to raise so far has been through awesome supporters that we've gotten to know over the past few years. And so that's allowed us to hire an architect and hire the electrical and mechanical engineers and hire, you know, everyone we need to get to this point. And so now, you know, we're getting to the point where we're going to need to start, you know, paying the general contractor and the subcontractor. So the fundraising never ends. I don't mind it, actually. I love meeting people. I love talking about the sanctuary. We actually, you know, we've had events in the past, we have events coming up, and so there's always something. Plus we post, you know, post fun updates about what we're doing, and me, you know, I am a lawyer, but it's fun, you know.
Oh, no.
I love not one of those, don't worry. You know, that's why do you think I'm rescuing dogs, right?
Well, you know, the timing couldn't be better, because right now, for a variety of reasons, not only around the Chicago area, it's happening all over the country, but in the Chicago area, we have a lot of dogs landing at shelters, at the doorstep of shelters, including Animal Care and Control in Chicago. And by law, if the dog arrives, or cat, or pet bird, or pet lizard, pet alligator, I hope you aren't going to have many of those, but whatever it is, by law, they must say, okay, welcome, come on in. But when they're out of space, they're out of space. So,
And they are out of space, and that's mm-hmm. the problem.
Yeah. So continually. So, and that's not their fault, which we've talked about here on the radio. You know, there's newspaper stories all the time about how reckless they are there and how they do this or do that. The fact is that if there's no space, and they try to create even more space, by the way, from what they have, they do more than their best. But they only have so much room there to, by law, keep a certain number of animals. So what can you do if more come in that they also have to say yes to? So there are more options today, so that's the good news. For every dog that might be a purebred dog, there's a rescue from Affenpinscher to Yorkshire Terrier and everything in between. There are rescue organizations that take just small dogs or take just dogs that have three legs or just dogs that and fill in the blank. I mean, there are lots of these groups, and that's wonderful. Dogs that look like pit bulls, which there are a lot of, rescues that take those. Other shelters who continually get animals in themselves will take from animal control as well. But they are filled very often. So you are incredibly needed. I'd say it would have been the case 2 or 3 years ago. But now, I think more than ever before. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, I hear just the numbers are just increasing exponentially. And yeah, there's absolutely a need. And, you know, what we want to do is we are emphasizing like quality over quantity so that the dogs that we take, we will make sure while they're there, they have just an absolutely wonderful life. You know, every day they're going to basically tell the volunteers when they're ready to come in from exercising, not the other way around. They're going to have big spaces. They're going to have, the people on our teams, on our committees, they're looking into everything from the type of music to play to the color of the paint to paint the walls, the insulation, everything to decrease anxiety so that they are able to live their best lives. And so we are going to then, you know, see if we can get them, you know, to get to their forever home, because that's really the goal. And so, you know, it's almost going to be, you know, as we save them, we're going to get them ready and then we're going to try to find them homes.
Amazing.
But we also want the location to be like a place that people look forward to visiting as well.
Yep. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what you're doing. And by the way, a special event coming up as well that I'll be at. All of that when we come back with David Kerpel on WGN. Finding dogs' homes, forever homes, is what it's all about. David Kerpel has a dream. The Impossible Dream. That's the song The Impossible Dream.
Oh, you remembered it.
Yeah, it just came to me like that. That's the song. So you had this dream that I'm sure, or maybe not, you tell me, that people around you said, "You're crazy. That's impossible." And maybe you were even more motivated the more you heard that. What did people, I mean, when you went to, not people in the animal world, because they probably, the first time I heard about this, I said, hooray, you know, and people who do what I do. But just people outside in your world, what did they think you were crazy? This guy wants to, like, have a dog party every day? I mean, what did your friends say about this?
Well, let's see. My close friends thought it was amazing that I actually followed through with my dream. And a lot of people I meet in the animal world say, "Oh my gosh, you're living my dream." And I respond to them saying, "Look, it can be your dream too. Come be a part of it." You know, because we're always looking for people to help out and to volunteer. And so that's how we've gotten a lot of really good committee members and a lot of volunteers that they help with organizing or social media or fundraising. And so people, they're all very supportive. It just really makes me happy and makes me feel really good when, you know, so many people have been so supportive, not only where I live in the northern suburbs, but also where the property's at in McHenry County, you know, right across Lake County border. It's just great. The community there has been so supportive.
You know, many people have always wanted to help dogs. Many people love dogs, but don't go that extra step. Now, you had the funds to do so, but not, again, to be clear, you are raising money, and we'll talk about how people can help. But to kick it all off, it was you. But not everyone follows through, as you mentioned, on something like this. This is big. Do you have a story in your life of a dog that changed your life, perhaps? Or maybe, I don't know. I mean, what motivated you?
There was something. I mean, people who know me know I'm pretty tenacious. I have perseverance, which are good qualities to have. But, you know, like you said, this is a kind of a big project. This is a big deal. And unfortunately, we have met with some roadblocks early on, which you know, they were hard to take. You know, certain communities were not supportive of us opening this, so we did not get the approval. McHenry County has been great, though. It's been great. So I forgot your question.
The story.
The dog. Yes. So we were on vacation in a third world country in December of 21. And my daughter and I saw a dog that was scavenging through like a garbage bin and just looked so thin. And it was a mother. And it was so sad, and it's really hard for us to see that, but this one especially. So my daughter and I went to get some dog food and set some dog food out for the dog. But that actually turned the switch to fast forward my dream, because in the airport on the way home, we had a 10-hour layover, and I started looking for land right then and there. Mm-hmm. So that's what did it. And that picture of that dog actually is on our website.
Well, you know, right now in America, there are stray dogs. And in Chicago, in the city, arguably, there are even small dog packs. Dogs, when they're strays, always don't get together in packs, despite what people think. But nevertheless, sometimes they do. And there are a few of those roaming this. I mean, what? I mean, you think about those things happening 150 years ago, but not today. And it's actually, for a variety of reasons, happening today, which is absolutely crazy. Now, you have events to fundraise, and you have one coming up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so February 19th, Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. in Highland Park at Norton's Restaurant, there is an event where we're going to be explaining and providing information about Forever Home Dog Sanctuary, and we're going to have images and graphics of what the facility is going to look like, and we're also going to have a guest speaker, and that is going to be you, the one and only.
Yeah, Dale. Well, I'm so honored to do this, you know, and also dog bite numbers are on the rise, and one thing I'll be talking about is why that might be the case, but also something we're missing. So we were all taught, you were taught, everyone I hope has been taught, you know, you're walking down the street, you see a dog, or most importantly, children see a dog they've not seen before, and you're taught, can I pet your dog, to ask. And that's great. But we're missing something, and I will talk about what we are missing. And it's a new initiative that I'm launching, actually, and I will talk about it for one of the first times, actually. I've talked about it at veterinary meetings a bit, but for a public event, this could be the first time. So I am looking forward to it so much, and mostly to say hello. So tell me again when this is, so I know where to go and when.
Okay, so it's Wednesday, February 19th at 6 p.m., at Norton's Bar and Grill in Highland Park. All the information is on our website. And I guess we should tell the listeners that it's Forever Home Dog Sanctuary, but Forever is spelled F-U-R. So they'll be able to look up the website that way, foreverhomedogsanctuary.org. You can look us up on Facebook or Instagram at FHDS Dogs. Also, I just want to let people know that we also have an event that Sunday. It's a bingo event at 2 p.m. In Wheeling. So that should be fun. And, of course, there's year-end giving because apparently 30% of people do their giving in the month of December. And on the 29th and 30th and 31st, those are the most popular days. So, you know, all the stuff you can look up on our website, and we would really appreciate everyone's support. But we'd love to see people at these events. So keep those February 19th and 23rd dates
now
available.
For the February 19th event that I'll be at the restaurant, there's no doubt that what it'll be about $10,000 or something per person to see me. What is the cost for this?
It's actually, not only is it free to come, but
that's about what I'm worth. You got that right.
Yeah, they're free, and there's actually some food that we'll be providing. You know, it is a fundraiser, so we're hoping that people come, do donate something, but there's no minimum, there's no cover charge. So just come and find out who we are and listen to you in person.
That's right. You get a free meal out of the deal, too. So
That's right.
That's never a bad thing. To be clear, spell out the website one more time.
Sure. It's forever, F-U-R-E-V-E-R, dog, sorry, forever home, F-U-R-E-V-E-R-H-O-M-E-D-O-G-S-A-N-C-T-U-A-R-Y.
Okay, so it's forever home.
.org, yeah.
Okay, I think we're making it more complicated than it is. Say it rather than spell it.
It's just foreverhomedogsanctuary.org.
Foreverhomedogsanctuary.org. David Kerpel, thank you so much.
Oh, is it bad to give my cell phone out? I guess
you don't want to do that. No.
We don't want that. All right,
no.
Let's go to the website
and then you can contact me through that. That's right, and find them on Facebook. Thank you so much, David. So here's what's happening. You're walking down the street. And you're with your dog, and a car jumps the curb, heads right toward you, over the sidewalk, heading toward your dog. Do you get between that car and your dog? Are you willing to risk your life for your dog? Well, it turns out most people, me included, I think, say they wouldn't think twice about sacrificing their own life to save their dog. Here's what we know. Dogs... It's been proven over and over and over and over again. And for those who don't believe it, there's video after video after video of dogs risking their own lives for us. A poll of 400 adults reveals that people are actually more likely to form an immediate connection with their dog than another person. Interesting, huh? Yeah, the human-animal bond, I think, is more intense than ever before. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early, on WGN.